Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Hope Duncan's mother, who had been ill many months, died Tuesday night. The funeral will be held at Bowman, Georgia, this afternoon. We have sent an expression of our love to the family, and we shall remember them in our prayers. Let us unite in prayer. Eternal God, our first thought is of thee. Thou art our creator, governor, and redeemer. Enable us by thy grace to love thee more than we love any earthly possession or pursuit, and to love our neighbors near and far as ourselves. In thy presence we confess our sins. We have done things which we ought not to have done, and we have left undone things which we ought to have done. Forgive us, we pray, and breathe into our hearts the forgiving Spirit. We remember before thee with gratitude noble souls who have done justly, loved mercy, and walked humbly with thee. Correct and strengthen us, that we may take our places humbly and gratefully in the company of thy people in this generation. We commit to thy care those who carry heavy responsibility and feel the burden of grief today, including those whom we have mentioned with our lips and whom we now mention in the silence of our hearts. Be with us, each one, in our going forth and in our coming in, until we come to thy house to go out no more forever. Amen. Let us read responsively selection number 88. I should like at the outset to call attention to the fact that on Tuesday, January 14, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in the Bethay Room, the Mission Interest Group is sponsoring a panel discussion of the problems of the indigenous church and the joys of interrelated missionary work in Nigeria and Japan. The panel moderator will be Mr. Cliff Clark, and the panel members will be Mr. Amu and Mr. Watanabe. I call attention to this because of the inherent value of this discussion, and because I think we need to place strong emphasis upon the mission of the church in the life of the world at this moment. And although we shall be turning attention upon ourselves and upon critical examination of our process here at the seminary in the weeks and months ahead, it is important for us to look upon the world in which we live, to look upon it without anger and without despair, to look upon it insofar as we can through the eyes of our Lord, and to see the opportunity for mission, Christian mission in the world. In these moments, I draw attention to the fact that we welcome with appreciation the students who have entered our seminary at the beginning of the second semester, and each one who is present here today. I think in some representative capacity, I speak for my colleagues in the faculty, in the administrative staff, and in the student body, when I say that we are genuinely glad that you are here to participate in this community of faith and of learning. We order our lives on this campus by high standards of systematic and relatively thorough work. And all of us labor under the pressure of time constantly. And we have to sort out the priorities of our lives. But I assure you that we have time for the little nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and of love. And we welcome opportunity for acts of kindness and of love. In these moments also, I draw attention to a basic conviction. The conviction that we live in the presence of God. The author of the 139th Psalm wrestled with penetrating questions and with stubborn obstacles to faith. He wrestled with these questions and with these problems with integrity of mind. But he became aware of one of the primary assurances of religious faith, the assurance of the nearness, the power, and the goodness of God. And he was able to say, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. In the Gifford Lectures for 1961-62, entitled The Sense of the Presence of God, Dr. John Bailey stated the fact that our theological formulations are always subject to correction, revision, and development. And at the same time, he declared that God has revealed himself in the mind of Jesus Christ our Lord. The revelation has characteristics of infallibility and absoluteness. But our minds are not infallible. Our understanding of the revelation is not infallible. But we do have a sense of the presence of the living God. And Dr. Bailey sets forth in this book containing the lectures the contention that we have to do not with an absent God about whom we may have a certain amount of information, but with a God whose living and active presence with us can be perceived by faith in a large variety of human contexts and situations. Let us think for a few moments about the presence of God. God is with us as we live and work in the context of a theological seminary. He accepts us as we are. He loves us as we are. He forgives us if we meet the condition of forgiveness. He disciplines us in the true meaning of the word discipline, and he guides us in the path of righteousness. He enables us, if we allow him, he enables us to help and not to hurt one another. In this connection, let me request you to be alert to any urgent need for help that may emerge in the life of any fellow student or any other companion on this campus. Some time ago, one of our students, for many days, had money enough for only one meal a day before the need was made known to us. We do not have, as a young seminary, very much money. But we either have money enough or we can get money enough to meet the essential needs for the essentials of life. And we want to be alert in this context to human need. When the history of the first 12 years of the life of this school is written, I think it can be said that one of the most important things that President Staley did was to establish a student aid fund. We are working very hard to maintain, to enlarge, to administer with utmost care the fund established for students. And we hope that every graduate of this school, every member of our seminary family, will be alert not only to needs for help on this campus, but also to sources of help by individuals away from this campus, in order that the resources here, which are really needed by men who are working in the sight of God in response to a call from God, may have the essentials of life in this fellowship. It is an opportunity to interpret what is going on in this context in the sight of God. Last summer, an acquaintance from Connecticut came by with his wife for a few moments of visitation with us to see the campus. They went to our home for a very simple meal at noonday. And in a few moments, they were on their way. We have had letters recently confirming his promise to give his library to this school. And in that letter, he spoke of the fact that he had mentioned our school to a Congregationalist in the little town in Connecticut in which he lives at the moment, a woman in a nursing home with almost no resources. and enclosed a check of $100 from her. On the same street, in the same little town, in another home of a Congregationalist, he mentioned the intellectual endeavor on this campus, and a retired schoolteacher who has no money but some good books sent us a set of the Interpreter's Bible. There are resources. They may sound meager, but put together they amount to strength to sustain the enterprise in this community of learning, where we work in the sight of God with a resolution to help and not to hurt one another. In the second place, the living God is with us in moments of intractable physical pain and in long hours of mental anguish. After 1900 years of reflection and more, we do not have an adequate rationale of human suffering. But you and I know one thing about intractable physical pain and long hours of mental anguish. We know that in our suffering, we are not alone. God is with us. At sunset on the last Sunday before Christmas, I stood with a great doctor who has walked with many patients through the dark valley and his three teenage children at the grave of their mother, who had died 2 weeks previous to that day. Our heads were bowed, our hearts were heavy. We felt the sting of death. We did not know how to explain suffering and death, but we knew that God was with us. And we certainly knew as much as that Greek philosopher who said that no harm can come to a good man in this world or in any other. And in the third place, it is important for us to remember that God always goes with those whom he sends forth in his service. It is appropriate, is it not, and right, for us to look occasionally at the conclusion of the gospel according to Matthew and to reflect upon the promise, "Lo, I am with you always." There are moments in the life of the theological student, there are moments in the life of the theological professor when reflection upon this promise is very fruitful. The phrase translated in a word always, the phrase means all the days. In a theological school, we have good days and we have difficult days. God is with us all the days. He will be with us as light to guide us. He will be with us as power to sustain us. He will be with us as our Father to enlighten us and to encourage us in the work to which He has called us. Let us pray. Help us to understand, O God, more fully who Thou art, and to know that we stand and think and speak and work in Thy presence. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.